Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to LiveDeliverance.com here on BlogTalkRadio.com. This is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And if you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. here on Monday evenings, we're so glad to have you. And because the Lord is moving in a mighty way, it's my pleasure to let you know that you can also hear LiveDeliverance.com broadcast on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/events/www.blogtalkradio Live Deliverance. Also, you can listen to them on Apple. Just go to podcast.apple.com/US and also on Player FM series. You can go to player.fm/series/Live Deliverance and as the Lord is moving and releasing his glory all over the world, we'd like to ask you to get involved in this ministry and invite some of your friends and some of your family members, even your co-workers, to come and listen and be blessed. Don't forget that tonight's ministry will also be made available for you to share with them about 10 minutes after the broadcast tonight. Just go to the website, livedeliverance.com, and look for Pastor Steve Lee and the date of that broadcast. So go ahead and get some paper and a pen. And if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, I'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions and make those comments. Please know that I'm only here because of what the Lord said in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children tossed about to and fro with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him into all things, even the head, even Christ, from which the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making the increase of the body, edifying itself in love. Well, now, having said all that, I'd like you to join me in a word of prayer as we sanctify our time together. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me to the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life, that I now share the living word, the bread of life. Father, I ask Jesus to reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, I ask you to quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men. Teach us how we should live in this present world. May we awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, this is part four of Seeing Then. You know, as you go through the word, and establish where you are called to be. Okay? I mean, a lot of times we can go to the word so that we can judge somebody else's calling or so that we can say, I know what the Bible says. But in these days, God is asking us to be serious about the thing, to go to the Word so that we can see our calling, so that we can understand what we're supposed to do. And when I say what we're supposed to do, I'm not just talking about the day-to-day existence. I'm also talking about pleasing God. Because without faith, his word, it is impossible to please him. You can have a memory of all the scripture, but if you're not applying it to your life, it doesn't do any good. We'll probably get to that scripture a little later tonight. I just want to look at some scripture so that we can identify again our place. Where do we fit? Because any place in the Bible, too, will fit. If you're using the Bible as a sword to keep people off of you, well, two people fit in that same place, that same scripture that you're using. Yeah. I'm getting into it. We studied last time. Some of this is a refresher. And we were talking about how God intends for the thing to work. He set it in motion. And that which he set in motion is still in motion. It doesn't stop. Just because we didn't know a truth does not mean the truth is not still existing. There are funds that are in banks, and they say that the people that they are supposed to be given to, that the bank doesn't know how to contact the people. But the money's still there, isn't it? Well, that's the way the Word of God is. He set it in motion, and then he is requiring us to study, live in. That's a better use of the term, because studying, you might have intellectual knowledge. But he wants you to live by the Word. And if you choose to live by the Word, then the power in the Word becomes effective in your life. If you don't, look at it this way. I'm not a cook, but I know that if you put all of the ingredients in the bowl and you leave the bowl sitting on the table, that cake batter is just going to be some sweet things that you can taste, but you won't have a cake. You won't see that whole experience in its fullness. Okay? So that's one of the things that we have to really kind of find out and see what's happening. Okay? Because God wants us to have the fullness of the thing. So then you take the cake batter and you stir it, mix all of the components in there, and then when you put it in the pan and put it in the oven, then you'll be able to utilize everything that God wanted you to have with that cake. Okay? Sometimes we can open a scripture, quote the scripture, memorize the scripture, but the scripture that we memorized has not yet become part of our life, so we don't get to enjoy the fullness of it. Just like you could take, my mother used to give me the beaters that you made the cake mix with, and she would let me take the beaters and the bowl after she had poured all of the cake mix into the pan, and whatever was left, I could enjoy that. I didn't get the whole cake, though, did I? It's something unique that happens when we put the cake mix in the oven. See, the process that we have to go through to enjoy cake and not just cake mix is sometimes what we have to do. Okay? Because if we forget the processes, ignore the processes, then the impact that the word wants to have in your life simply won't happen. You will be hearers of the word only. See, and he does not want us to be hearers of the word only. He wants us to be doers of the word, or get to the place where we can experience the fullness of that word. And I will say, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, he said, man must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, I've got to decide that if God requires forgiveness, I'm going to forgive. That's one step, beloved. The next step would be, now I have to love the ones that despitefully use me. See, I just can't say, okay, I'm going to forgive you, and that's it. I've now got to activate my forgiveness with love, with blessing. See, because the Bible says, thereunto are you called. Why? That you might inherit the promise. You knew the promise and you forgave, but you did not go further and add the other ingredients that says I have to love. Because I owe that man love. It says, owe no man anything but to love him. So I owe that person that was talking about me, injuring me, I owe him love. After I forgive him, then when that process goes and you live there, you have your being there. You don't want anything to separate you from the promise of God. You've seen the promise. God wants you to work the promise into your life so that it will produce a work out of you, the result that God wants. Seeing then. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 1, again, God set the thing in motion. He said, let there be. It says, verses 1 through 3, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the world was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. You know, I've been kind of meditating on this. He said that the world was without form. So just thinking about that, I don't find that from Scripture at this time that the world was round. The reason why I say that is because round is a shape, isn't it? He said that the world was without form. I mean, when I saw that, I said, well, I really never thought about that before, that the world was without form means that it was not this circular thing that we see. God hadn't finished the work to bring it into the manifestation that we see today, because it was without form, and it was void. And then he says, and darkness covered the face of the deep. So then out of darkness, God created what we enjoy today. So can he do that in your life, beloved? Out of the dark times that you're experiencing, will you allow him to manifest the word that he spoke when he said, let Stevie be? Yeah. Because I was created by that word. I was not created by my mother and father. That was the process, but I was created by a word. Stevie, be. And when he said and released that word, he also released my destiny. Because I live by that which I was created by. Okay, so if we think in the natural, if I was created by sex, then I have to live by sex. That doesn't work too good for a baby, does it? Amen. See? We should live by the word and then find out what processes he wants us to go through so that we can feel, accomplish, and enjoy that word. Okay. And then because the darkness was upon the face of the deep. I mean, I'm just trying to get here. It was only on the face of the deep or at the point of contact. Let's say it that way. Okay? That there was other stuff that was in the deep. But darkness covered the face of it. So what about the situations of your life where you feel like darkness is covering your blessing, covering your destiny? Then God wants you to find the word and speak the word just like he spoke the word. And he said, me be, or let there be light. See, he affected change by his word. And I'm going to throw this out there. When God saw darkness on the face of the deep, he didn't just knee-jerk reaction, do something. It said that he was moved, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, upon the waters. So he hovered over the situation. He meditated over the situation. So that when he speaks, let there be light, or me be, he was going to see in manifestation what he was seeing in his heart. See, sometimes I believe that we don't take the time to allow the word to be formed. We know it, we can quote it, but it hasn't yet been formed. That's what he said. He said, I pray for my people that Christ be formed again in them. That they would understand what's the reality, truth, better than reality, what's the truth of what God wants. He knew we were challenged, and he wants to use the word to get us out of the challenge and bring victory. But we haven't let the word take root in us, be formed in us. Okay? Again, when the Spirit of God moved, it says in one translation, he hovered over it. He came to an understanding of what he wanted it to be. And then because it was formed in his heart, then when he releases a word, that word now has power. See? That word has been energized, if you would. Okay. Okay. So as God... As God did it, wow, he wants us to do it. We were created in his likeness, right? After his image. So then it probably would do good for us to find out what is the image of God as it relates to this thing, whatever it is. Okay? What is the image of God? What do you see of God about finances? Okay? What do you see or understand, perceive by the Spirit about healing? See, you have to come up with the time to dig into the word. Let the word become flesh. That's what happened. Jesus came and says in the beginning that was the word was God, the word was with God. And there was nothing that was in here that was made, that was not made by the word. And when the word came, it said, and he was here, flesh and blood. The word became. The word went through the process of. The word became flesh and blood. See? It became flesh. Why? So that it can be tangible, so that it can be handled, so that it's not etherical anymore. See, is something that you can experience on multiple levels. That which you saw in your heart, and now that which you have in your hand. Okay? The word became flesh. See, I'm just trying to give you the understanding. Just a visitation, okay, I'll do it that way. Just a visitation is not what God is looking for. He's now wanting to abide. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then the process of victory can easily be seen. You will have what you say. You see that? That's the process. So don't just grab a scripture and then quote it and then get mad because what you said ain't happening. You didn't let the word become flesh. Because when the word and you are inseparable, when the word and your spirit are inseparable, it has the release of dynamite power. See? You will then blow things up and away. You will then destroy yokes, not break yokes. You will destroy them. Why? Because the word that's alive on the inside of you creates an image that causes you to be able to continue speaking what the word that's alive on the inside says. Okay? God set this thing in motion. He said, let there be, and there was. After he hovered, meditated, and decided what he wanted, then he said, let there be. Let there be light. Let there be animals and plants. Why? Because I see that on the inside of me. And now I speak the life that's on the inside to be made manifest in the life that's around me. So God, this world and heaven operates on God's thoughts, his words, and his power. It still is held in place because of his thoughts, his words, and his power. I mean, when I think about that, the water that was on the earth, he gave it a commandment that it should not go past his word. I mean, just think about that. You have a great big old body of water that was everywhere. And now he says, be right here and right here only. That's just, to me, that's amazing. Because I've seen the effect of what tornadoes and hurricanes do. That's just water coming in. I was down, I think it was after Hugo. And I went down to give some help and aid to the people in around that church that they contacted us. And I drove down with a truckload of all the things, food, clothes, water, and I dropped it off. And when I met the man at a place, and then I was looking around at devastation everywhere. And so I just looked and said, well, this is a good view of a beach. And the man said, oh, no, that's a new beach. I said, what do you mean? He said, you are about 5 miles inland from where the shore used to be. I said, whoa. It knocked down everything in its path. I saw a football stadium with the lights on the field, not just erect like they're supposed to be. They're 40-foot lights. And they are bowed down on the field. It took the top of the Holiday Inn. It took the top 5 floors and set it on the ground. See? So that water that when God commanded it, as Adam lived in that place of great peace and victory, the water did not pass his commandment. It's amazing to me. So heaven operates by God's thoughts, his words, and his power. And the earth is still subject to those same thoughts, words, and power. Now, this process works for good or for evil, okay? Because when we see in Mark chapter 7, let's look at this. Mark chapter 7, starting about verse 14. And they were having discussions, always talking about how they are so right in their thinking. And Jesus, they was mad because the disciples didn't wash their hands for eating. And then Jesus came, he called the people unto him in verse 14, and he said, listen, hearken unto me, every one of you, and every one of you, I want you to understand. There's nothing from without a man. Entering into the man can defile the man. Stuff that you can put in your mouth. He says, but the things which come out of the man, those are the things that defile the man. Your words defile you and your life. He said, if any man got ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples said, well, Jesus, what were you talking about? And he said unto them, are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatever thing from without enters into the mouth or to the man, it can't defile it? Because it enters not into his heart. The factory for your life. Your heart is the factory for your life. It's the place where God will cause it to be able to be cooked the same way that cake was baked. You got the ingredients. You got the stuff. But when your heart meditates, then concentrates on what the word says, you will make it become manifest. Because the heart brought it out, produced it. He said, whatsoever enters into a man that through his mouth cannot defile him, because it doesn't enter his heart, but it goes to his belly. You know, it's just amazing to me that we have three distinct levels of existence. We are a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body. Three different levels. And your soul or the natural man can mess up the things that the spirit man was designed to enjoy. Because you were created for his good pleasure. So the spirit man connects with God quickly about the things that God intended for him to have. But he doesn't cause the soul man to submit to it. And then the flesh man that's demanding these things happen goes out and gets some things illegally. Okay? He says that the things that we should deal with are the things that comes out of the man. He says in verse 20, that which cometh out of the man defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All of these things come from within, and they do what? They defile the man. Because the heart has produce that, and he has that in abundance. Yep, let's go over. Go over this one more time. Last week we brought it up. I'm just going to review it. So remember, if you have bad thinking, then your words, okay, if you have bad thinking, your words will follow your bad thinking. Okay? life and death is in the power of the tongue. So your bad thinking will be released by your words. So your thoughts turn into words. And then your words turn into actions. Your actions turn into habits. Your habits turn into a lifestyle. Your lifestyle turns into your destiny. And your destiny turns into history. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33. And he says, Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. My computer's getting slower than me. So let me go back and get it here so I just want to read it correctly. I know 37, but I want you to see it from the beginning. Matthew 12, 33. He says, stop being double-minded here. He says, you can do what? I love this. He says, you can make the tree good. So then if your life, if you don't like it, it's not what, doing what you expect it to do, your spirit man has not brought into manifestation the things that God wants for you, he said, take authority over that. Learn how to function in this. Make the tree good. Make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Oh, you generations of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak of good things? For out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He didn't say, whatever things you have in there in a limited supply. He said, you have things in your heart in abundance. And whatever that is, it says your mouth goes to talking from there. If you haven't taken the time to renew your mind so that your thoughts would be what God thinks. Even in Isaiah 55, he says that let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. And the unrighteous man, let him forsake his deeds. And let him return to the Lord. And he will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And your thoughts are not my thoughts. Did he leave it there? No. He was saying that you have, it was an invitation. See? It was an invitation that you would let God control your mind. Let God control your mind so that your thoughts will then be changed. They will be his thoughts. And when your mind is converted to thinking, okay, thinking like he thinks, then you will speak like he speaks. See, God is the one that calls those things that be not as though they were. Okay? So he wants you to participate in that same plan, with that same power, with that same guaranteed result. See? That's what he wants you to do. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10 in Isaiah 55 is the one that turns it. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. Wait a minute. He said that the rain comes down or thoughts come down. Okay? So he said he's not keeping it away from you. He's not making it hard for you to get. He says rain and thoughts are the same. They are equal to one another. So when it rains, it doesn't just rain a little bit. It rains everywhere the conditions are right for the rain. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and it does not return thither, it does not return void, It had a job when it left heaven. And the job, he wants to allow that job to be developed in you. Why? So that you can also enjoy what his thoughts were for you. Again, I'm taking the time to dig into this because it's high time that the body of Christ enjoys the word of God. Okay? We need to do that. He says, my thoughts come down and they do not return thither. But what do? They water the earth. Now, I want you to see something here. I always say this. Notice the word earth there has an H at the end. If you would take the H from the end and put it at the beginning, you have heart. Because the earth and the heart are interchangeable, are interchangeable parts, so that you can understand what God is wanting to do. Whatever he's wanting to do in the earth, he wants to do in your heart. Okay. But it waters the... Okay. Notice that the word has to water the heart. Okay? He wants a flow of his word to your heart. He wants to water the earth. It ain't time to do nothing yet. He's just starting the process. So then we can do this. Let's say this. Our tears water our existence. And sometimes when we deal with that hurt, we still allow the hurt and the water that comes down through our physical tears to mingle and become the product that we live in. He says, my word waters the heart. Okay? And says, and it makes it bring forth and bud. Please notice the process here. You think, you receive the word of God, and it waters your heart, and that also change and affects change in your thoughts, doesn't it? Because what you used to think and say, you don't think and say no more. Why? Because water has taken place. You do remember that you are made out of the dust of the earth? Because the dust of the earth and the mist that was coming up from the earth gave the dust to be malleable in the hand of the Lord. Just like you used to make mud pies, well, God made you out of the dust and the mist of the earth. He didn't want you to be connected to and grounded by the earth. He made you out of the dust of it. That's just above the earth. Okay? So then we should kind of adjust our thinking that we always say, well, you know, I'm just flesh and blood. I know I make mistakes. Well, see, you're not thinking of yourself in the right image. Because you were made in the image of God, which is a spirit. See? And so he gave the ability for the spirit to be held, touched, and perceive things. He made you from the dust of the earth. The mist that comes up from the earth and the dust. Okay? All right? Just some Selah moments right there. He says, this watering process. See, the victory that God has for you starts in the spirit world by that flow of the Holy Spirit. Taking the word that he's spoken to your heart and then letting the flow and mist of the Holy Spirit cause it to be conformed, cause it to be changed. All right. He says, it does not return void thither. It waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud. He says, this process, what you're going to see, is not the fullness of it. It's going to be the bud of it. Mark chapter 5 says it's like the process goes this way. First you're going to see is a little bud. Then you're going to see a little green leaf. And then you're going to see the whole green leaf and the fruit that comes from the seed. Okay? It has to go through process. It has to go through the ingredients being collected, put in a bowl, put moisture on those ingredients so that you can then form those ingredients to what you expect to be eaten. Okay? That's going to be the process. It's always been the same process. As long as the earth remains, it remains. It says, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Okay? You're going to have to go through the process of putting it in the ground, collecting it out of the ground, putting it in a bowl with other ingredients, put moisture on it, and then form it to be what you desire. Okay? That's the way God has set this thing up. He says that it does not return void, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud. Why? So that it would give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. This is the way my word is. So shall my word be. It shall go forth from my mouth, and it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish. Well, we can go through this and see. He said it shall accomplish. But notice, it cannot accomplish if it didn't have water. I want you to know that. See, the process has to stay the same. See? And I guess we want to do the shortcut because, you know, we live in the microwave world. Instant potatoes. See? Food ready in a minute. No, God wants you to let patience have our perfect work with you, that you may be perfect and entire, because you've let patience have a perfect work, and you know how the process works, so you don't try to super-invent the process, change the steps, put them out of order. See? You say, okay, good. God wants me to do this. He wants me to meditate. I don't take the word and demand. I take the word and meditate. I look at what God is saying. I perceive what he wants in the earth through that word that he just spoke to me. I don't have to worry about the time. I'll deal with the time in a minute. Right now, I need to seize in. Okay? I need to be able to see in my spirit what God has said, not what I want. Come on, y'all. See, I know a lot of times we'll say, oh, God said that, and I want that. Well, you have not done anything. You have not allowed patience to get involved in the process at all. Remember, you ask not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. He said, I want you to ask, but I don't want you to ask out of lust. I want you to ask because it has been fully developed in your spirit. Then you come to me with that which is now, glory to God, that which is now perfect. See? Because every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. But I haven't had time, taken the time to develop my spirit man to know what this actually is. See, okay, this is, come on, y'all, look at this. He just said it right here. This process that I just worked, I now appreciate the seed. See? The seed is going to give me something that I can sow and something that I can eat. So then when I look at it, when my spirit is understanding it, I'm understanding first that this that I received has to now be planted. It was a seed. This was not for me to just consume. This is the seed, so that what will happen is it will perpetually make what I'm needing in my life. See? I've allowed that seed to become perfected in me. Wow. Let patience have her perfect work. I know this is not what we've all heard before. I know that. I understand that. It's still scriptural, isn't it? It's still line upon line, precept upon precept. Wants us to be so good at this that we take the time to do what Adam did. See, Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening, the cool of the day. So Adam, as I can understand that, he didn't have no demands. Oh, this got to happen today by 3 o'clock. Because he walked with God. He was around God's presence. And as you are around God's presence, fullness of joy. See? And then out of the well of salvation, you're supposed to pull out of that well with joy. See, so then when we're running to God with these deadlines, see, we didn't allow that word to be perfected in us, that word to be so alive that when we speak, the manifestation happens. So we've taken time to just be with God. Let him open up, excuse me, let him open up that word to me. Okay, I said that exactly right. Let him open up that word to me, not me take him what I understand. You know, some of y'all had kids, I'm sure, and you the kids say, yeah, fix this, do this. They bring you all of the proper ingredients, but they haven't had taken time to appreciate what that was. See? That was a glory to God. Any gift that you gave them that was something they wanted to enjoy, it was a gift that they're supposed to plant so that joy would remain. See, not so a lust can be taken care of. But how many times have we done that? Taken to God a thing that we want our lust to be filled in. Just, yeah, God, do this. Instead of allowing patience to have a perfect work, that thing will be formed in my spirit. Because when it's formed in your spirit, I'll tell you this, when it's formed in your spirit, there is nothing the devil can do about it. Jesus said it, Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 16. Revelation is what God revealed, what Jesus revealed to Peter. And he said, Peter, I'm going to build my whole church on this rock of revelation. And I want you to know this, Peter. The gates of hell shall not prevail against what I'm building by revelation. When you have that thing formed in your spirit, not in your mind out of lust, formed in your spirit in the process of peace. See, because sometimes we form things out of a demand. See, he wants the peace of God to cause this thing to work. See, let it be formed out of peace. See? When that happens, then there's nothing the devil can do. Because you'll be able to say in the midst of the storm, peace, be still. That was not an inquiry for peace to do something. That was a statement, peace, be still. It's so fully formed. I told y'all to go to the other side. So then that's what's going to happen, people. We ain't got to worry about that. But this here come this storm, and the wind was boisterous. And so they got nervous and scared, saying in chapter 14 of Matthew, that they cried out for fear. If it wasn't bad enough that the thing was experienced that they were going through was causing them to be shaken, then they began to say, I tell you what, give me some more fear. They called out for fear. And Jesus on that Sabbath. He said it would have passed them by. But he saw them in the middle of trouble. And he said, okay, good. Fear not. It's I. The one that told you to go across, it's me. We'll make it across. And then Peter said, well, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water. Bid me come to you on the storm. Allow me to walk out peace in my life. And Jesus, well, wasn't nothing Jesus could do. It was him. So all Jesus could do is say, come. And then Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water going to Jesus. See, when the thing, when you're surrounded by the peace of God, the thing that God has said is easy to be executed. See? He told him, peace, be still. Now, operate from still peace. Don't operate from frustrations and fears. Operate from still peace. Romans chapter 16, verse 20 says that the God of peace will bruise Satan under your heels shortly. Why? Because I can function correctly from the position of peace. See? Everything in the kingdom of God works the same way every time. You hear the word. You let the water, the washing of the water of the word happen. You know, because some of the stuff that we think, that's some pretty doggone nasty stuff, ugly stuff, stupid stuff. Well, the washing of the water by the word, so that those thoughts are no longer active in your life. That you don't reach back and pull up all of the things that went wrong. You hear the things that God is speaking to your spirit. He's speaking peace. He's speaking victory. See? He's speaking power to you. So let patience have a perfect work. Don't short circuit the process just because you think it's a pending doom. No. Stay with it. You know, I think Peter got the point later on. He didn't have it when he gave up walking on that water. It says, and beginning to fear, beginning to sink. He looked at the waves. He looked at the wind. And that which he was looking at caused him to sink. But God is so faithful that as soon as Jesus saw that process, he reached down, grabbed him, and it says this, and they walked to the boat on the water. Even in a mess, Jesus calls Peter to walk on the water to the boat. I mean, it was good for him to walk on the water going to the promise, but Jesus allowed him to walk on the water after he received the, come on, y'all. See, God is, he's in your past, working things together for your good, for your future. Hallelujah. So go to him. And you say, okay, good. I mess it up. Good, he knows that. But just do what Peter said. If it's you, Lord, bid me come. Let me walk on the water because I'm walking on your word. See? It's alive on the inside of me. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing. What is the thing? Your heart. It prospers there. He wants you to love him with all your heart. The word shall there is an absolute imperative. It has to happen. My word shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper. Okay. Let's just deal with that. He said his word shall prosper. So that means when I'm thinking that I'm losing grip or letting that promise slip, I should go back and say, wait a minute, that word that he spoke to me, he spoke to my heart, and it says it shall prosper in the thing. Okay? Confusion cannot stop it. Frustration cannot stop it. Peter was walking on the midst of the problem, and Jesus allowed him to go to the boat, walking on top of it. Shall not return unto him void. He said, come, and Peter walked. So we need to see how that flow is. Question it in your heart. You know, am I allowing peace and am I allowing patience to work in my heart? Or am I just saying something that I got to have happen and I got to have it now? Now, sometimes we think God don't know about our deadlines. One time, my wife and I, we was just learning these principles. And so, you know how you push things in the flesh. So I didn't have the money to pay for our car insurance. And so, you know, we just ride on that sloppy agape. Oh, Father, bless me. He did. He blessed you with the word. But you are not paying attention to the word. You're listening to the circumstances. So I went on and, you know, I rode in the car without insurance. And to make matters worse, I was out of state. And as I was in the wintertime, and I was coming around the corner, and the car slid on some ice. And the car that was coming in front of me, sliding on the same ice, I had an accident in that city. And so I was about a block, a block and a half away from my destination, my father's house. And so Musette, you know, she was just messed up because it was her car, okay? And so she was messed up, and we didn't see how we was going to get home. We didn't see how we was going to drive the car from there. And so my father came walking down there, and we drove down there, and he said to the man that whose car I hit, well, actually, we hit each other, and he said, don't worry about a thing. I'll take care of your car. And then, you know, the man was sat, he got it, my car, driver's license, and my father's driver's license, and my father took care of that. And so now I'm still with a car that don't look too good. My father kind of fixed, moved stuff around, put stuff back in the proper places so it can work. And so we had to drive 715 miles with the car that had been injured. So we get here. Now we said, well, you know, I got to make this thing work rather than believe and trust. So we went back and we're new to this. Trying to get God to bless this mess. If it's amen, you can say amen or oh me. And so we got back, and then we called the insurance company and told them that we had been in a hit and run. And so that was before phones that had cameras on them, so we couldn't send that. So they took our word for it, and they sent us enough money to get the car fixed. Okay, so God allowed that to happen because he wanted me to grow up past that, because that wasn't faith. That was foolishness. So maybe a year and a half, 2 years later, we were in a situation that was similar. Didn't have the money to pay for the insurance. You know, sometimes you have the money to pay for the food or for the bill, okay, with that deal. So at 12 o'clock on the day of the expiration, the state police called us and told us, your insurance is no longer any good. Do not drive that vehicle. So, you know, now this time I've grown a little bit in the Lord, and I said, well, okay, God has let me know that there's no way I can miss that. I might have something sloppy agape that I can use. And so, you know, that was it. So we were at the house. And then it happened to be around October, which is my birthday month. And so, you know, we just kind of sitting there praying, believing God, hoping and a wishing, hoping and a praying, waiting on God. And so my mother and my father came down around my birthday. So that was good. You know, glad to see them. That brought me some joy. And then they brought with them a blessing, because after all, it was my birthday, and they were inspired by God 715 miles away to come down here and to give me $500 as a birthday present. And so I saw God work instead of me working contrary to God. I was waiting on the Lord, working with him, and he was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. It was maybe $120 for the insurance. So that means I still got over $300. Huh? $320. I'm happy as I can be. Why? Because the word of God was then being formed in my heart. Oh, yeah, my wife and I had discussions about, well, we can at least go to the corner. No, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to go back to my infancy where I was doing things in flesh. See, because if I go back to my, this is good, y'all, if I go back to my infancy when I was doing things in the flesh, then I still have to grow past my infancy by my spirit, don't I? He takes you back to that. See? Takes you back to that. So you want to be one that allows the promise to be settled on a good heart. Matthew chapter 12, finishing it up. Okay? Okay. Wow, look at this. I'm sorry. It's just good stuff here. Isaiah 55. It says, 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It did not accomplish what I wanted, did it? It accomplished what he pleased, and what he pleased took care of all of it. What I was trying to do is just get enough money to pay the insurance. See? But God got in front of me, called the house at 12 o'clock, midnight. Do not drive that car. It'll accomplish that which he pleases, and it shall prosper. Come on, see? There it is. Look at it. We purposed to do it God's way, and that word then prospered in my heart. I could see God's grace instead of seeing sloppy agape. It was intentional grace. Glory to God. It will prosper. He doesn't want me to go back to my infancy when I did stuff that he could not approve. Stuff that he used to wink at, but now he's commanding all men everywhere to repent. It says, for you shall go out with joy. For when you allow this patience to have a perfect work with you, you will then go out with joy. I ain't got to be looking at every stoplight trying to find out if there's a policeman in that vicinity. I can ride looking, ooh, glory to God, I can ride looking at my windshield instead of looking at my rearview mirror. Come on, y'all. See, I can enjoy life that's in front of me. I don't have to be worried about what's coming behind me. Is the police going to be here? Are we going to be arrested? They will take the car. I can drive looking at my windshield instead of looking at my rearview mirror. Seeing then, glory to God. He says, for you shall go out with joy. And if that wasn't enough, and you shall be led forth with peace. But if I'm not allowing peace to develop my heart, I can't move. His word has to accomplish what he wants. It has to prosper in my heart. He says, and when you do that, when you allow that, you will go forth. Come on. You will do what? You will go out with joy and go forth with peace. Come on, y'all. Let's just look at that. Those are two spiritual forces that will now work for your good. I'll go out with joy. So then when I step outside of the circumstances, I'm going to be standing there in joy. And because I'm standing there with joy working, now peace connects to that joy and moves me forward. Glory to God. I'll be led forth with peace. I won't be suspicious about a call, looking at the phone and saying, okay, I hope that ain't this one or that one. Already having formulated whatever lie would be necessary before I even pick up the phone. See, I'm allowing joy to take me out of the situation. And then peace will lead me. Glory to God. It says, because the mountains and the hills, and they shall do what? They shall break forth before you into singing. And all of the trees in the field shall clap their hands. See, I'm listening to some different music right now. I'm listening to the things that the Spirit is showing me about the life of God that's all around me. Come on. See, if I continue to do stuff in the flesh, no, I'm not going to hear trees clapping their hands. I'm not going to see mountains and hills moving in front of me. I'm going to see that all I got is trouble on every side. See? And if it wasn't bad enough to have trouble on every side, I got fear pushing me. That's the way that it used to happen. See, when I didn't understand the truth of the word, when I didn't allow I did not allow patience to have a perfect work with me so that peace could then speak to me, that joy can then speak to me, that I will know I have a guaranteed result. I have a guaranteed outcome. And now I'm walking towards that outcome because peace is leading me. Glory to God. I got mercy behind me. They follow me. Goodness and mercy. And peace and joy is involved in what's in front of me. So that I now am winning on every side. Glory to God. Mercy is behind me. Goodness. I don't even have an explanation of what goodness is. See? I can define mercy. But goodness is so big that it affects my taste, my thinking. When you have food that is good, you remember that food, don't you? Goodness affects my thinking, my well-being. And mercy is behind me. Goodness, and they talking about stuff to make me feel good and do good. And peace and joy is leading me. As peace is leading me, my next step is made in confidence, isn't it? It says that in the book of Proverbs. See, I don't have time to be troubled now. There's mountains and hills are being removed. My surroundings have a different sound now. The trees are clapping their hands. The song we used to play and I used to sing, it said, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. I don't have no trouble around me anymore because God has risen. God is now bigger in my heart. So that I know that I cannot be defeated. I mean, I'm no longer even fighting my battles. He's fighting for me. Glory to God. And he's given me a weapon that I put in my mouth, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. See? So that's an offensive weapon, but I also have praise that settles me. The trees begin to clap their hands. I just want to praise you, Lord, much more than I do. Birds in the sky, they sing. Trees in the field, they clap their hands. I get to experience that. I remember one time I was just really studying and seeking God. And I used to try to make the word alive in my heart. So I would walk. Because let's look at Isaiah 54. It says, they shall run and not be weary, shall walk and not faint. So I said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to run in the morning, and I'm going to walk at night. I'm trying to make that scripture mine. See, my steps are ordered, so I want to just make this scripture mine. I'm going to run in the morning. I'm going to walk at night. And I was walking one night, and I just got through reading Revelation, talking about that the river that's crystal clear in front of God. And the river was so clear, and everything is so pure, that the wind was just a wind of refreshing, not a wind of a storm. So I began to enjoy that. And then I said, and this is so peaceful, God. I said, would you show me that peace? Can I experience that peace? And then I was noticing as I was walking that I was hearing dogs barking and horns honking. And then I said, Lord, can you show me that peace? And like my next step, everything completely silent. Then he gave me an understanding that everything in heaven praises God. That's why the trees the leaves on the trees, they don't fall, because the place that a leaf would fall would stop the ground that's there from praising God. And I just blew me away. Everything is alive forever. So I just, as I'm walking, I'm just noticing that everything around me, my circumstances, is allowing me to enter into a life that makes me full of joy. Everything completely silent. And that wind of refreshing is all I experience for about 5 minutes. Then I said, amen. I got that, God. I want to walk in that. My spirit wants to deal with that every day. So the scene then, which way will you do it? Will you practice trying to believe and doing things that are fleshy just because you didn't expect God to really do it all? Or are you going to live by the joy of the Lord, by the peace that passes understanding? God wants to show you his truth, because his truth is everlasting. Which way would you do it? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we bless you for showing us, exposing your heart to us, so that we will then know how we should function and live in this world. Because your heart is the heart that we were made in the image of. Your victory is the victory that comes to us because of our submission to you, because of our loving you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. Thank you, Father, that we choose right now to see from the finished work of Calvary. Seeing then instead of seeing a mess. Seeing then so that we can fully see you. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the Master's name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Glory to God. And as we do, now comes the time, if you have any comments or questions about the ministry, we'll allow you to ask those questions or make those comments. And they can be good. Praise the Lord, it was a blessing. Or they can be extensive of what the Lord opened up to show you. Area code 404-536-7829. You have the mic. Area code 404-536-7829. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, just another blessing. I really heard some things tonight and got a better understanding, so I appreciate it.
Amen. And what I would recommend, that's why I tell you to get a pen and some paper so that you can write down the revelation or the first part of the revelation and then talk to God about it. Sometimes it's so big, I get it. I mean, people have told me, you know, my brother told me, you know, I'm like Paul, that I preach and the guy was under the third window, just fell down from the third window dead. And Paul kept on preaching. I got that spirit that comes on me. But it's because God's grace is just so grand. I want to open it up, your thinking to it, so that you can enjoy it. 770-843-1578. You have the mic. Go ahead.
Yeah.
770. Go ahead. Say it again.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Me?
Yes,
okay,
I can barely hear you, but I can't hear you.
Okay. Yes, this has been quite a blessing, and it's been very good for me and for us, and that we look forward to delve more into doing these things. Thank you.
Amen. No problem. That's what I'm here for, just to open up. I can show you the door, okay? I can't open the door. Jesus is going to open it. But once you see the door, it's easy then to walk through it. Just for some people that like numbers, the number four in the Hebrew is for doors, open doors. So then now since you hear things, you can see the door that's open in front of you, and it will impact your life greatly because victory is on the other side of that door. I just threw that out there. Area code 404-345-0963. You have the mic. Any questions or comments? Area code 404-345-0963. You have the mic. Okay. Again, beloved, I'm not giving you the mic to stir up, gin up fear. The Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I'm giving you a chance to experience victory. I'm not trying to dictate what the victory is. I'm just giving you a chance to experience victory, to have an image on the inside that's greater than what the devil keeps presenting to you, the pressure that he keeps putting in front of you, okay? That's all I'm trying to do, to just get you and say, okay, good. Well, glory to God. That's enough. See? The glory then goes to God. And that, Father, thank you, that glory that we release to him, he then releases back glory to us. That's the way it works. Are we not supposed to go from glory to glory? See? So that's why when you get an opportunity to give a testimony, you know, just do it because that seals the glory that you just received. It causes the revelation to be sealed in your heart. Amen. And if the ministry has been a blessing to you today, just as I spoke about the glory sealing it, well, a physical manifestation of sealing the glory or sealing the word that you heard is to be a blessing with a tithe, gift, or an offering, to sow a seed into this ministry, because we're only on the air by the free will gifts of the supporters, those cyber members that have covenanted with us to continue to support the ministry. Okay? So if it's been a blessing, then allow God to speak to your heart about sowing a seed here at livedeliverance.com. Just go to the website, and you'll see the donate tab. And just sow a seed and then watch what God does in your life because of the obedience to the word as written and the obedience to the unction of the Spirit of God. so that he can give and get into your life all of the things that he's been trying to do. All right? So go ahead and do that. And also, I'd like to remind you that you can invite your friends or your coworkers to participate in the broadcast on Monday nights from 9 to about 10:30. And we can all grow in faith and fellowship in the Spirit right here at livedeliverance.com. So then, until the next time that we get together, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon your face, give you his grace and his favor, and give you his peace in Jesus' name. Until the next time that we get together, next Monday, love y'all. Be blessed.